Our reading today is from Philippians 2, verses 1 to 18. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen.
Well, it's a wonderful passage, isn't it? One of the great passages in the writing of the Apostle Paul, indeed in the whole Bible. It contains what was almost certainly an early hymn, but that's in the middle of what we've just heard read this morning. It's good to try to take the whole thing and to see where it's going. And in this first part of the sermon this morning, let me just try to do that a little bit with you. Paul starts from the position of what we have in Christ. He says there are four things we have in Christ. We're united with him. We're comforted by his love. We share in God's Spirit. And we have what is translated here as tenderness and compassion. These are the things that we have. And because we have these things, we are to live in humble service towards each other. And so the glory and fruit of the gospel will be evident. Paul says at the end of verse 4 there, we're not to look to our own interests, but each of us to the interests of others. that's where it leads. And in order to emphasize it and show us how it's possible, Paul gives us the hymn, which is about the Lord Jesus coming, being in the very nature of God. He gave himself even to death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And of course, that's where we began our service this morning. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow. But we only get to that glory in Jesus through the same kind of humility, dying, if you like, that he went through. The way to life is through death. The way to glory is through suffering. It's always the same in the Bible. And it is in Philippians chapter 2. But then he goes on to speak about the result of that in our lives. We are to live lives which are not grumbling, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. Here then is Paul speaking about the ultimate purpose of being saved in Jesus Christ, how our salvation works. And it works by leading us to be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then he says, breathtaking this bit, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. You'll be like a shining star as you hold firmly to the word of life. Some of the translators speak of it being as we offer the world the word of life, we shine as stars. And then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. If in the glory to come there are those who have come to Christ through us and who have lived faithfully for him and served him as Jane Haining surely did, if there's anybody like that in the glory, then that'll be something for me to boast about. In Christ. So there's a kind of summary of it. Now let's sing a hymn and then we'll come back to it in a little bit more detail together. And so let's take a little time now to think about some aspects of this unfolding picture that Paul presents to us of what the Christian life is really all about. And I want to start with the first two verses, these amazing verses, as I think of them, that Paul writes. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. He's telling us in these words of four things that really compose the essence of what you and I know if we are Christian people. Four beautiful things that are true of us. Now, we all know that we've got to grow in them, but here is the essence of what it is that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ today. First of all, we have union with Christ. We are united to Christ. That's what happened to you when you were converted. You trusted in Christ and you were united to Him, never to be parted from Him ever. So that His life is your life, His death is your death, His glory is your glory, and He is united to you. He's so close to you, He's so much part of you, that it's quite impossible to think of you without Him. You can't think of life without Him. You can't think of your own life without Him. He's as close as that. He's as close as your skin and wraps you round. He's in you and you are in Him, united to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not leave you comfortless, said Jesus once. I will come to you. Do you need to know that today? He's as close as that to you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's His word to you today. Maybe you've had an absolutely rotten week. Maybe you've had a rotten life. But you belong to Jesus. And He's bound up with you. And He's never going to let you go. Underneath are the everlasting arms that never let us drop. Did you need to know that today? That's the first thing. If that was the only thing, that would be grand, wouldn't it? But there's more. Here's the second thing. If any comfort from His love. These are difficult words to translate. The Greek words are full of meaning and significance. And we get comfort here, and it's okay. But there's strengthening in it too, and there's consolation in it. These things are in that word as well. If any comfort, it's like somebody standing, you know, you've been in court, I hope you haven't, but some of you maybe have been, you've been in court, you're in trouble, and you have somebody standing beside you, your solicitor, your advocate. Oh, it's good to have them, isn't it? It's good to have them by your side. Jesus is by your side as a comfort and a strength. If any comfort from His love. And then here's the third thing. If any common sharing in the Spirit. Common sharing, that's the words that's used here in this translation. I prefer just fellowship, don't you? If any fellowship in His Spirit. The Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, working in us, sharing with us. Does He share anything with you? Oh, yes, He does. There are lots of things He shares with you. Have you been ever walking along the street and a thought comes into your head? Or a song? Maybe it's an old children's song. Don't despise any of that. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Where did it come from? The fellowship of the Spirit. Or somebody meets you and speaks kindly to you and talks to you a little bit that encourages you in your life. Where does that come from? Where does that person come from? The fellowship of the Spirit. Countless, countless ways, brothers and sisters. He comes to us in our waking hours, and he comes to us in our sleeping hours. There's no limit to it, is there? Sometimes you go to bed, don't you? And you're fed up and you're miserable and you feel rotten. And you feel that life is hardly worth living. But in the morning, it's bright. Why? The fellowship of the Spirit. The Spirit has come to encourage you. Amazing, isn't it? What we have in the Lord Jesus. And then there's this. If any tenderness and compassion. Well, those of you who remember the old King James Version will remember that this is translated bowels and mercies. And the reason that they've just made it tenderness is because we don't think of the bowels as being the source of our emotions anymore. We think of the heart perhaps being that. But in the ancient Hebrew world, it was the bowels that really was the source of the emotions, the inner being of a person. As some of you know, we did fostering for a number of years, for a good number of years, actually. And Mary said to me this morning, as we were talking a little bit about this passage, she said, I never knew that there was such a thing as bowels in this sense until I was speaking one day to Derek. Now, Derek was a lovely wee boy that we had for quite a wee while, 6 months at least. He was waiting to be adopted because his mum no longer wanted him. See? There came a day when she didn't come to see him, and the writing was really totally on the wall. She didn't want him. And he realized. It's hard to speak about. Mary said she never knew that a person could feel so deeply until that wee boy cried that day. From deep, deep within his whole being. Now, this is perhaps the deepest part of this that Paul tells us is true of the Christian. You see, what he's pointing to is that in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no area of our life that is beyond his knowledge and beyond his touch. If there are bowels like that, tenderness and compassion, the Lord Jesus comes to us as one who is infinitely compassionate. I was thinking, as I was thinking of this passage, of that well-known story, of course, of Lazarus and how he is raised from the dead, and there's that beautiful part where he comes to the tomb. There's a stone over it. And it says, Jesus wept. There was such a thing at that moment as the soul of Jesus being so unutterably, profoundly moved, going to the very depths of his humanity and ours. And he engaged with that. Drew it out of us sometimes. He does do that in order to hold us in his loving arms and deal with the blinking thing that so torments us in the heart of our being. God deals with everything. Is that a way that we could put it? Sometimes the New Testament says that Jesus was angry. It's very difficult to translate that. But there were times when Jesus was deeply moved. We've referred to one of them, there are others. Now, why is that so important? I think when you just pause, you realize that it is very important. That it's very important that our Lord Jesus Christ not only knows these things about us, but engages with us in his infinite tenderness, not allowing us to escape from the sore places in life. Even little Derek, there was no escaping that terrible thing that had happened to him, that unspeakable rejection. But it had to be. It had to be faced. It had to be, in a sense, suffered. And in his case, I'm sure the Lord was in it too, but in his case, you see, it was Mary standing beside him, hugging him, feeling it as he embraced her, holding on to her. You see. And in the course of that, a future opens up. Actually, without that, for some people, a future doesn't open up. Sometimes we spend a lot of time running from that, you know, because we don't really believe properly in the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ability to take us to his heart. So see these lovely things that we have in the Lord Jesus. Union with Christ, comfort in his love, sharing in his spirit, tenderness and mercy. If that has happened to you, if that is the kind of thing that it means to you, then Paul says, serve one another, be kind to one another, be compassionate to one another, lift one another up, just as the Lord Jesus lifts you up out of the darkness of the tomb itself into his presence. Where does it lead? Time is speeding away from me. That's what happens, doesn't it? Where does it lead? This kind of transformation of life leads to us having what Paul calls here salvation. And that salvation is something which makes us, in his words here, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. It will make you those who shine like stars in the sky. You see, it's not avoiding issues that leads to salvation. It's facing them with Him. And when we face everything with Him, He does something to us that we don't even know properly He's done, but He's doing it, and He's done it. He makes you different. And here Paul gets quite excited. I think he was a very excitable chap, Paul, a lot of the time. He gets very excited here. He can't find the words to express it properly. You know the difference that Christ makes in your life? He makes you like a star in the sky. So people look at you and they say, what the dickens has happened to him? What has happened to her? And they begin to understand, however faintly, that it's because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life that you are as you are, and you're able to say to them ever so kindly and lovingly, you know, what He's done for me, He can definitely do for you. That's okay, isn't it? Maybe you need to know that today, that there's a lovely salvation for you, and it's offered by Him, quite personally, this morning. Now, I've realized my time has gone on, so what we're going to do is we're going to miss out a hymn. And what we'll